Song this morning, and how appropriate to what I want to share with you from God's Word. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Daniel chapter 6. We're going to be looking at verses 16 to 23. Our great sound and tech crew have put that on the screen for us there. I'm going to remind you of a passage that you're very familiar, and so let me read it for you. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den. The king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet ring of the nobles so that nothing in regard to Daniel could be changed. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he reached the den, he cried out in anguish to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God," the king said, "has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Then Daniel spoke with the king, "May the king live forever. My God has sent his angels and shut the lions' mouths. They haven't hurt me, for I was found innocent before him. Also, I have not committed a crime against you, my king." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to take Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken out of the den uninjured, for he trusted in God. Now, this is a passage of Scripture that you're very familiar with. You've heard it many times. And I want to use it as a basis to remind us that God is able, as Scripture says, to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And you know, as I was thinking about a passage of Scripture that would really dovetail with what we're talking about this morning relating to God being able, we could have easily chosen Moses. Moses and the children of Israel are on the edge of the Red Sea, running away from Pharaoh, seeking God desperately that he would deliver them. And God shows up and he is able to deliver them. Or we could have talked about King David. At the time that we would look at his story, he would have been just a shepherd boy fighting Goliath. And how that he cries out to God and asks God, "God, are you able? Will you deliver me?" And the Lord does. Or we could talk about Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, where he is surrounded by Sennacherib, and God is able and delivers him. Or we could talk about Elijah and how that Elijah comes up against those 500 prophets of Baal and how he is delivered by God, how God consumes the sacrifice with fire, even though it's drenched, soaking wet with all those barrels of water. Or we can talk about Mary and Martha and how that their brother Lazarus had died and how that they were desperately hoping that Jesus would have gotten there in time for Lazarus to be spared from death. I mean, he's been dead for 4 days, and yet Jesus delivers him. Or we could talk about Peter and how God delivered him from prison. Folks, all of these stories point to the fact that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And I hope that you'll take your bulletin and maybe you'll place that in a place in your house, maybe on your refrigerator, or maybe in your restroom, in your bathroom, on the mirror there, to remind you that God is able. But this morning, as we look at Daniel and God's delivery of him, what was happening? What was happening when God stepped in to deliver Daniel? You say, "What do you mean? God is able." We know that, yes. But when, in the case of Daniel, did God step in? What was going on in the life of Daniel that set the stage for God to do amazing things? Well, the first thing that I would suggest to you this morning, that when God is able, when God steps in, usually and in most cases, his people are praying. Now, let me set the stage for you. Daniel was one of three that were set ahead of the 120 princes that the emperor put into place. And as you read the earlier part of this passage, you find out that Daniel was of such character and such quality that the king wanted to place him at the very pinnacle. So you have 120 princes, And then he wanted three above that, and he wanted Daniel, of those three, to be the head guy. The other guys, the other two guys, were exceedingly jealous of Daniel. And they didn't want Daniel to get this position, and they were scheming together to try to figure out what in the world they could do to get Daniel in trouble. And as you read the early part of that passage of Scripture, it says that there was nothing. His character was impeccable. In fact, the only thing that they could do was they could get him on his religious beliefs or on his religious stance. So they talked the king into making this crazy law that for the next 30 days, no one could pray to anyone but to him. So as one of the top three guys, obviously Daniel knew the law that had come down. And Daniel knew the punishment for what would have happened if he had prayed. And what does Daniel immediately do? He goes and prays. He doesn't go to the king. He doesn't go to the ruler. He doesn't go to the emperor and say, hey, listen, you know what? I don't like this law. I don't like this ruling. I don't like this. He wasn't conniving. He wasn't scheming. He just went and prayed. In fact, what was so significant about the story is Daniel, just to make sure, because I'm sure Daniel knew what these guys were up to, he just made sure he opened up all the curtains on his apartment facing Jerusalem so that everyone would know. Now let me put that into perspective for you. Imagine, and in fact in light of things that have happened in our country these days, this doesn't seem too far-fetched. What if our government were to pass a law to say nobody could pray for the next 30 days? Now, I mean, at first blush, I don't think you think about the implications of that, but that means this: no prayer at meal. Can't pray before any meals. Can't pray before you go to bed. If anybody gets married, can't pray there. If anybody has a funeral, can't pray there. For 30 days, we can't pray. What are you going to do about it? We're going to pray. Very good. Whoever said that, we need to give them a prize after we're there. What's happened in our country of recent days? Laws, decisions have been made beyond anything that we could ever have imagined in our life. What ought we do? We ought to pray. And folks, sometimes people say this, well, I can't do a whole lot about that. I don't have any influence on our elected officials. I don't have any influence here or there. Folks, you can pray, and prayer changes things. Listen to what it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, the church people, the Christian people, the followers of God, I will do three things. I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. What does Daniel do when he's told that there's a ban on prayer? He prays. And I believe that when we pray, we are setting ourselves up for a situation in which God is able to do some amazing and extraordinary things. Daniel is thrown into jail, into prison, into the lion's den because he prayed. And Daniel was delivered out of the lion's den because he prayed. Prayer can deliver us from trouble. Psalm chapter 50 and verse 15 say these words, call unto me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Now, folks, prayer is not using God. Prayer is getting us in a position where God can use us. And I so believe in the day and time in which we live, we are in a very similar time and way like Daniel. I mean, what in the world is this king and earlier kings thinking about? You remember earlier, there's this guy, Nebuchadnezzar, and he gets this crazy idea that everybody ought to worship him. I mean, where does that come from? He makes this huge statue. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel's friends, are on the scene. We don't know where Daniel is in the story. And what do they do when they find out that they are banned from worshiping their God and they can only worship this altar, this idol of this king? If they don't, they're going to be thrown in a fiery furnace. Listen to what it says in Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. The king had asked him, hey guys, you want to change your opinion? You want to change your decision? They said, king, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, now listen to the words, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. God could have delivered them by allowing them to go to heaven with him, or he could deliver them in a miraculous way. But one way or the other, God was able and God was going to deliver him. But here's what I love about the end of that passage. They say this, and he will deliver us out of your king, out of your hand, O king. But if not, if he does not decide to deliver us out of this fiery furnace, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. And you know what happens as a result of the testimony and the faith of these men? Nebuchadnezzar changes his whole pattern of thinking. It becomes a tremendous witness. At the end of this story, when Daniel's delivered from the lion's den, what do we have? We have an extraordinary change of heart for Darius the king. Why? Because he realizes who God is. God is able, and when God is able to do great things, people are praying. The second thing that I would share with you about the when, as far as when God shows up and when God shows himself strong, when our hearts are pure. Now listen to the interchange. Darius says to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lion? Remember, this is what happens the morning after he throws Daniel into the lion's den. Oh, by the way, if you read the story in its entirety, what you find out was, after the king realizes that he has been hoodwinked by these other leading officials, he spends the entire day trying to figure out how he can get Daniel out of this jam. And he can't think of any way. In fact, he is sleepless all night long trying to figure out and agonizing on where Daniel is. And so in the morning, here's what the king says. O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Daniel answered, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him. And also before you, O king, I have done no harm. When our hearts are pure, God steps in. Psalm chapter 51, verse 10, David is speaking under the inspiration of Scripture. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. And then jumping down to verse 16. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offering. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. God will not despise. What caused Daniel to be blameless or pure of heart? He trusted in God. He had faith in God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 say these words. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, speaking of God, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, and there rewards those who seek him. Folks, this was Daniel's stance from the very beginning. You remember when he's taken into captivity, and the king comes to him and he says, hey, I've got all this good food, I've got all this good drink, I've got all this stuff that you should eat. And Daniel said, no, I don't want to defile myself. I'm committed to God and God alone. And Daniel purposed in his heart that he was going to remain pure before God. How big is a pure heart in the sight of God? Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? They shall see God. When you and I are pure of heart, we see God show up in amazing and extraordinary ways that I think the rest of the world misses out on. We see God do amazing things when there is a purity of heart. King Arthur in the Knights of the Round Table said, my strength is the strength of 10 men because my heart is pure. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Folks, we live in a world today that no longer takes God's word as the standard of truth. But that didn't make any difference for us as believers, because we stand on the truth of God's infallible word. And what we do is we follow God's word, and in purity of heart, in that relationship, in that communication and prayer, we are putting ourselves in a position where God can work and move. See, in our lives as Christians, as followers of Christ, we need to be like that little woodland creature called the ermine that you find in Northern Europe and Asia. It's a small little animal, about the size, in my guesstimation, of a weasel, and it has a beautiful white fur coat. In fact, many of the furs that in days past, you don't see so many ladies wearing furs these days, they would wear the skins of these little animals, the ermine. And what hunters would do, because they knew that the ermine did not want its fur to be messed up or dirty, they would find out where the ermine lived, and they would take grime and dirt, and they just kind of coat the outside of the den or the hole where the little ermine lived. They would release the dogs to find the ermine out doing whatever it was doing, eating or foraging for food, and it would chase it back to its home. And when the little ermine got to its home, because of the dirt and the grime around the entrance, it wouldn't go in. It would rather die. It would rather be captured than to allow its skin or its covering to be soiled. And as Christians, we ought to live our lives in such a way that we desire for there to be purity inside and out in our life. And that pure life that we have sets the stage for God to do some amazing things. So when does God show up to do the amazing thing? When we pray, when our hearts are pure, but then finally, when we serve Him continually. Now, if you remember back to that passage that I was reading for you, the king duplicates or recites twice what he's going to say. Let me read it for you. In verse number 16, it says, "The king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, 'May your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you.'" That's verse number 16. Now, down to 20, this is the morning after Daniel's been thrown into prison, or into the lion's den. Listen to what he says. "As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared, 'Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually?'" I mean, is this guy just dense? I mean, he's repeating himself. Why is he repeating himself? Because Daniel's life was so characteristic of serving God and faithful and obedient trust in God that the king couldn't even imagine describing him or engaging him in conversation without thinking about or attributing the fact that Daniel served God. "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to serve you?" Matthew chapter 23, verses 11 and 12. "The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 and 8. There's an encouragement. "Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." So our service to the people around us is actually doing God's will. "Doing the will of God from a heart, rendering service with a good will, as to the Lord and not as to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or free." See, I believe that Daniel realized that prayer set the stage for God to do great things. And a pure heart set the stage for God to do great things. And serving God faithfully and continually set the stage for God to do great things. Now, we've all agreed already from all of those stories that I shared with at the beginning that God is able. He is able to do amazing things. But when is it that he steps in and does those things? In the case of Daniel, when he prays, when he has a pure heart, when he serves continually. And I ask myself, and I ask each one of us, how is our life continued or categorized or seen in the area of prayer? How is our life seen or categorized or described in the area of the purity of our heart. How is our life seen or characterized by our continual service to Him? And folks, I believe, like Daniel, if we would yield ourselves to God in these three ways, in these three areas, God would do some amazing things. Sometimes people say, you know what, I just don't see God do a whole lot of amazing things in my life. And you know what? It's God's desire and God's plan and God's will that He do some amazing things for what? For His glory. For His glory and our good. So what is it that God wants to do in your life, and what is it that God wants to do in my life? Maybe until we begin to pray and to have our heart in right relationship with God and we serve Him, we're not able to see all that God wants to do. It's been 21 years ago since I came to Dripping Springs to be their pastor. Been at the association now going on 16 years. And I can remember as a new pastor, I wanted something for our folks to leave with at the end of each one of our worship services. And so we had this little chorus that we would sing at the end of every one of our worship services. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what He wants me to be. And every single sermon, every single Sunday, every single worship service of those 6 years that I pastored the church, we sang that at the end. And at the beginning, and Daniel, you know this is a As a worship leader, people are going, come on, pastor, can we not get another chorus? We know you can't sing, and you can't even sing that one good. Why don't we get another one? And I said, you know, I just think if we leave here every Sunday verbalizing, praising God, singing to God that He is able, maybe. About a year or so back, ran into contact with a lady from the church, was doing a funeral back out there. And she said, you know, I still remember that little chorus. And I wanted to give her a big hug right there and say, thank you so much. I said, I took such grief from everybody that we didn't change that thing up. And she said, I was going through a difficult time, and I just needed to be reminded that God is able. Folks, I want to tell you this morning, God is able to do. God is able to show up in ways beyond anything that you can imagine. And He loves to involve Himself in our life. I love the end of the story of Daniel and these guys that didn't like him. If you read the rest of the story, the king is so ecstatic that Daniel's out that he tells everybody, you need to worship Daniel's God. And then what he does is amazing to me. He takes the guys that got him to pass this law. He gets the wives of these guys and the kids of these wives, throws them in the lion's den. Read the story. They don't even hit the ground before they are crushed. Pretty vivid, so make sure you read that before lunch. Tears them apart, crushes their bones before they ever hit the ground. Can you imagine the testimony that Daniel has of faithfully waiting on God? When is God able? When we pray, when we have a pure heart, when we serve Him continually. Father, thank You this morning for the reminder of the story of Daniel.